hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening, everyone. We thank God for another beautiful Saturday evening. It's always a pleasure to come your way. I'm Eben. I'll be with you till 9 p.m. Let me start off with this one from Bonsu. That's the accountant here. To happy birthday to Brigatha Inshira Ajikum, KNST Unity Hall, doing computer engineering. And the message says, may you continue to soar higher. May the right hand of God rest on you. May the new year open new doors and new opportunities. And this is from your father, Mr. Dampare. And they are wishing you, the family and all, wishing you a happy birthday. So I believe God's blessing will be for this new year. All right. So, last week, I was talking about the word of God being, you know, the deception, using the twisted word of God as one of the agenda of these times. The globalists are pushing, challenging the word of God, especially when it has to do with the things they are really, you know, concerned about, the lifestyles that they are promoting and all that. Tonight I'm continuing from there, but first I'll be looking at the news. And we look at some of the things happening in the world as well. You can get the recorded edition on Spirit from spiritissues.info. And for those in the Telegram group, you can also get the recording from the Spirit Issues. So you can just get it from Telegram. In the group, the recordings are also uploaded there. So let's look into some of the news, the things happening in the world. The reason why we talk about these things is to remind ourselves of the times we are in, what the Bible says. You know, as a matter of fact, if you really look at the state of the world now, and you really, really understand what you read vis-a-vis the Word of God, you clearly see that the Word of God is true. And indeed, it's a living book. Because for a book to be so accurate in its statements regarding the times thousands of years ahead, and for it to really be manifesting just as it's written, unfolding, it's something which is clearly can only be God. So that's the power we have in the Word of God. As we see these things unfolding, the times we are in and all the strange things, the lifestyles, everything, the things we are seeing, let's start first with this one. You know, now they are also having extreme temperatures. Recently, they are saying that the world is experiencing the highest heat. They have a way of measuring the heat, how we feel the heat as humans. And they say the highest ever, the record breaking, highest ever. Clearly, something is not right. A lot of things are happening in the world. So we just have to remind ourselves of some of these things, and that's what I bring to you on Issues of Life. Okay, so let's get moving. The first says, Kremlin, that's Russia, vows response to France providing Kiev, that's Ukraine, with long-range missiles. As for Russia, they've been giving the warnings and, well, I don't know, it's the wait to see what they'll do. But the war hasn't gone too well for them. A lot of pressure on them. Their soldiers are demoralized. And I saw one report that says that about 400 Russian soldiers are being killed every day. It's like very pathetic. Young guys, energetic guys, minding their business. The only crime they've committed is to be enrolled in the military as soldiers. And that's it. I mean, this unnecessary thing, just dying. And then this one, 735 million people facing hunger globally, according to the UN, and Africa is most at risk. There are now an estimated 735 million people worldwide facing hunger, and Africa remains the most at-risk region when it comes to the global hunger crisis, according to the latest State of Food Security and Nutrition in the World report published on Wednesday by the five United Nations specialized agencies. According to the report, some 691 to 783 million people faced hunger in 2022, with a mid-range of 735 million. This constitutes an increase of 122 million people compared to 2019, before the COVID pandemic began. The five UN agencies that published the report, that's the Food and Agriculture Organization, the International Fund for Agricultural Development, the United Nations Children's Fund, the World Health Organization, and the World Food Program, are collectively warning that if the hunger crisis continues, one of the UN's 17 Sustainable Development Goals of ending hunger by 2030 will not be reached. I see. Okay, and then it goes on. We are also having archaeologist claims that he has discovered evidence of the destruction of Sodom by fire. A famed archaeologist believes he has found the biblical city of Sodom in modern-day Jordan and says there is evidence that proves the city was wiped out by fire. Stephen Collins, dean of the College of Archaeology at Trinity Southwest University, told Joel Rosenberg in a new episode of Rosenberg Reports how he and his team uncovered the biblical cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in Jordan. He says he used the scriptures as clues to find the location. There is so much specific information about the location of these cities that you would practically have to be blind and illiterate not to be able to find the location of Sodom, because there are at least 25 known pieces of geography that you can triangulate between to take you to the city of Sodom. It's not difficult, he explained. Interesting. You know, Sodom as it is, we are living the times when the world should have been remembering and taking serious the warning in the word of God about what happened in Sodom. And last week also, as I was saying, instead of the world taking clue from what happened there, we have the audacity to rather use that word to even describe the lifestyle of sin against God. So sodomy is the name of a sin, a lifestyle, and clearly tells you that humanity has not learned from the issue that happened in Sodom. And also it's just obvious and clear, this generation is worse than Sodom. I mean, what we are seeing happening in the US and the UK and some other countries is way off. Because you see, the people of Sodom, they didn't have the word of God. They didn't have prophets to warn them, nor pastors and all that. But now we have the word of God, and they know, these people know the word of God. I mean, I always refer to this, I mean, one of the protests in front of the US Supreme Court, in which this girl was holding a placard, this lady or whatever, I mean, holding a placard, I'm going to hell and I know it. And I keep asking myself that, you see, what else can you tell this lady? I'm going to hell and I know it. What again can you say? This person most probably grew up in a Christian home, knows about the word of God, knows the Bible, knows that this lifestyle is hell bound, and is bold to hold a placard, I'm going to hell and I know it. What again can you say? except the grace of God intervenes and saves this lady. You see, so they know the lifestyle is hellbound. Largely, they know. That's the generation we are in. God really help us, this generation. Church of England, working on guidance for blessing, quote unquote, blessing of same-sex unions. So this Church of England, the doctors and the very reverends and whatever, don't they know the word of God? They know. They know it. The Church of England is working on pastoral guidance after the denomination's recent votes to allow clergy to bless same-sex romantic relationships but not same-sex marriage amid pushback from both sides. You know, they are just using terminology, so, I mean, same-sex romantic relationships but not same-sex marriage. That's interesting. Okay. Then we have transgender wins beauty pageant in Netherlands. When I saw the news this week, I said, wow. So, a male, born as a male, now transgenders, changes to a female, joins a pageant, wins against the beautiful girls. I mean, you see, the irony of this is when they change from male to female, you can't tell. Artificial beauty can never be the same as natural beauty. I mean, you see, but these people, these globalists and this entertainment industry and the media and all want to push and make a point. So now these transgenders are winning all over the place, winning this, winning that, winning this, the best this. I mean, how can you have International Woman of the Year award and you give it to a transgender, a male who has male organs and all but claims I'm a woman, and you give International Women's Award to such a person? Is it they just want to push and make a case? I mean, they are just a propaganda to hype the thing, and that's exactly what they did in Netherlands. I mean, because seriously, this girl, male girl, whatever she is, I mean, you can't tell me she's more beautiful than these other girls. I mean, so Ricky Valerie Cole made history as the first transgender woman to win Miss Netherlands. It's the first time in the Dutch pageant's 94-year history that a trans woman has been crowned winner. It means the 22-year-old will be the second openly trans competitor to take part in Miss Universe in December this year. She's been speaking to BBC Newsbeat about beauty backlash and the beauty breaking boundaries. From the moment her name was called as the winner, Ricky said she simply couldn't believe it. Okay. I will not be surprised at the level two, at the Miss Universe level, they will give it to these people just to also make a case there again. I mean, promoting something which, I mean, clearly... It's just, seriously, me, I think these ladies in the sports and the beauty pageants and all, I mean, it's time they just boycott en masse, all of them. You just boycott it. The transgender should do their own thing, because it's a grave injustice and insult to these ladies, be it the sports or other events, which they are allowing these guys who are just looking for easy ways of winning these things. They just transform themselves to be ladies, claim to be ladies, and then come in. And because the system is like, is now their season, is their time, their moment. Everybody is talking about them. They give them the winning rights. They just win. It's just an unfair world. Then we have 40% of Brown University students say they are LGBT. And this is really serious. So we have 40% of a university, Brown University students say they are LGBT. This is something else. So this new survey data from Brown University student newspaper provides further evidence that the increase in LGBT identification is driven by social pressures. The latest data show that between 2010 and 2023, identification as LGBTQ plus has almost tripled among the student body at Brown University, from 14% in 2010, saying they were not heterosexuals, to 38% now. The Herald Spring 2023 poll found 38% of students do not identify as straight, over five times the national rate. The Brown Daily Herald reported, over the last decade, LGBTQ identification has increased across the nation, with especially sharp growth at Brown University. Wow, wow, wow. I mean, seriously, you can imagine the pressure if you are a student, you are a straight student in such a place. I mean, surrounded by these people. I mean, if you mention somebody's wrong gender, you are misgendering, whatever they will. I mean, you do this. If you don't call someone by the right name, you are misgendering, hate speech. I mean, to live among such, it's something. It's really something. Really something. Wow. This world is something now. So we have Christian social worker loses job offer over his beliefs on sexuality. So the social worker from the United Kingdom is taking legal action for alleged religious discrimination after a job offer at a hospital was withdrawn due to his traditional Christian stance on homosexuality and marriage. UK resident Felix Ngole is challenging the withdrawal of the job offer to work at Wakefield Hospital at Leeds Employment Tribunal this week with the help of Christian Legal Center. He is making claims under the Equality Act for discrimination, harassment, indirect discrimination, and compensation for injury to feelings. You know, now the things you post on social media, they can use it. You can easily lose your job for what you express on social media. So, not that there are some instances where people have been sacked from their companies or lost, I mean, contracts and deals and all that. Not because they said it at the company premises or business premises, but on their own private social media posts, they express their views on these issues, and that's becomes an indictment against them. It's like you should not think this way, you should not say this, you should not believe in the word of God and quote the word of God, because you do that and they will call you homophobic, hate speech, and all that is that. I mean, they'll brand you by all these things. It's really, really strange, but now that's becoming the norm in some of these, you know, Western societies. And then in Wisconsin, so the school district, a court has ruled, a judge has ruled that a biological male student should use girls' bathroom. And sometimes I wonder how those judges really think, because, I mean, anyway, now the world, common sense doesn't apply again. What is black is white, what is white is black. I mean, it's so obvious that you have a male who claims I'm a female, has all the features of a male, but just claiming I'm a female, and you rule, the school says no, you can't be in the same bathroom with the girls. Now the court rules that he should be allowed to. I mean, it's really off, but that's it. That's the world. These are challenging times indeed. Really challenging. You know, parents are worried. I mean, when I talk to my friends out there, it's like they are worried because, you know, your child goes to school, is exposed to all sorts of things. And I remember one mate of mine told me that the church, they left the church, I mean, because of what I'm coming to say. The Sunday school teacher was a lesbian, and so, I mean, when he got to know, he said no. After he made the case to the leadership of the church, they left the church. Because, I mean, I bring my children to church, Sunday school, to be taught, and a lesbian is the one coming to teach them. What values can this lady be teaching? I mean, if it's a normal secular school system, well, that one, there's a normal professional teacher. That's a different case. Even that, they are, that's what they are using to indoctrinate and push their various agenda in there. But not church. It's a no-no. It's a no-no completely. I mean, Sunday school teacher come and teach our children in church too, and a lesbian is the one teaching them. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean... Okay, so we get to the UN. United Nations prepares, quote, emergency powers, unquote, to set the stage for global government. So under a shocking new plan that is scheduled to be adopted 2 months before the U.S. presidential election in 2024, that means September 2024, all it will take is some sort of major global shock for the United Nations to literally take authority over the entire planet. This may sound like a plot, like in the Star Wars movie type of thing, but it's actually what is being proposed. And the U.S. administration is fully behind this insidious plan. Unfortunately, the mainstream media is not covering this at all. And most people have absolutely no idea that this is going on. An article that was posted by the Federalists first broke the story, and it should be making headline news all over, but it isn't. Next September, global leaders will gather for the Summit of the Future, and during that conference, UN member states are scheduled to adopt a pact for the future. That's an agreement for the future. In September 2024, less than 2 months, the Summit for the Future, where member nations will adopt a pact for the future. The agreement will solidify numerous policy reforms offered by the UN over the past 2 years as part of its sweeping common agenda platform. So the whole thing is from 2022 to 2024, this common agenda is being worked on. So even if you go to the UN, some of their websites, you see the common agenda logo beside the UN logo itself. Although there are numerous radical proposals included in the agenda, perhaps none are more important than the UN plan for a new emergency platform, a standing proposal to give the UN significant powers in the event of future global shocks, such as another worldwide pandemic. As usual, the UN disguises the most alarming portions of the agenda by sounding it with language, surrounding it with language that speaks of the need for peace, education, and economic growth. But right there in the official UN website, they admit that one of the purposes of the Summit for the Future, or Summit of the Future, is to put in place a stronger international response playbook for complex global shocks, maximizing the use of Secretary General's convening power in the form of an emergency platform. So what in the world is the emergency platform that they are talking about? Well, a UN policy paper that was published a few months ago contains some very disturbing details. Many of the details of the UN emergency platform were laid out in March 2023 policy paper titled Strengthening the International Response to Complex Global Shocks, an emergency platform. In the paper, the UN Secretary General writes, quote, I propose that the UN General Assembly provide the Secretary General in the United Nations system with a standing authority to convene and operationalize automatically an emergency platform in the event of a future complex global shock of sufficient scale, severity, and reach, unquote. Once triggered, the emergency platform would give the UN the ability to actively promote and drive an international response that places the principles of equality and solidarity at the center of its work. The UN would bring together the stakeholders of the world, including academics, governments, private sector actors, and international financial institutions, to ensure there is a unified global response to the crisis. If there is some sort of a major global shock, the last thing that we should want is for the UN to have the authority to ensure there is a unified global response to the crisis. So what sort of global shock would activate these emergency powers? The policy paper tells us that a future pandemic, a major event in our outer space, or even unforeseen risk would all qualify. The paper gives several examples of what could trigger the emergency authority, including major climatic events, future pandemic risks, global digital connectivity disruption, major events in outer space, and generic unforeseen risks and events. In other words, whether or not these emergency powers could be used would even be open to interpretation. And it turns out that once these emergency powers have been activated, the UN will have the authority to keep extending them indefinitely. And it goes on and on. You know, the WHO is also, I spoke about it a few weeks ago, to where they are also bringing out their plan. You see, the control systems, they are bringing the pieces together to control humanity, control the world, what you can do, what you cannot do, when to sleep, when not to sleep. You know, they did a perfect case study and demo during the COVID. They did their tests and all to see how human beings reacted to the lockdowns and all that. So they did a good job then to see. They did the case studies to test and they got the results they wanted. To see, now they know that human beings are really fearful. So they know really that they can easily control humanity. Yes, they can easily control humanity. They just push a few fear buttons and the panic will be all over the world and they can control people. And that's the world we live in, and these power brokers really know how to play the game well. You see, the control systems are falling in one after the other. Now, this next one. CBDCs, I've spoken about this a few times, central bank digital currencies, where all the whole ultimate plan is the whole world, all the central banks would have digital currencies interconnected worldwide, where you can control things, payments across the world, everything in real time can be tracked. There will be no secret transactions that cannot be seen. And it's all about, you can be taken out of the payment systems, your account can be directly blocked. In that case, you cannot buy, you cannot sell, you are out of the financial system and all that. You cannot hide anywhere in the world else to go and do it because it's a centralized system, interconnected worldwide and all. So that's the CBDC. I've spoken about it sometimes back. But this headline says, according to Professor Richard Wenner, in the very near future, citizens will need, listen very carefully, citizens will need to use the latest technology such as a CBDC chip implant in order to access their bank accounts. Let me repeat. According to Professor Richard Wenner, in the very near future, citizens will need to use the latest technology such as a CBDC chip implant in order to access their bank accounts. Professor Richard A. Wenner is an economist and professor of banking and finance. He is known as the proponent of the new post-crisis monetary policy he called the quantitative easing, that's the QE, which he proposed in Japan in 1995 as chief economist at the British Investment Bank. He has also worked as a researcher at the University of Oxford, the Bank of Japan, and the Development Bank of Japan, and then the Asian Development Bank. He is involved in supporting the establishment of the not-for-profit community banks through an initiative called the Local First CIC. Exposed News reports at the Amsterdam Summit, Science Summit 2022, Prof. Wenner gave a lecture on the central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, and the 2030 agenda. At the sidelines of this year's Amsterdam Science Summit, he spoke to Ivo Cummings about CBDCs and how high inflation has been orchestrated by the central banks to further their agenda. Let me repeat the last sentence in case you didn't hear it well. At the sidelines of this year's Amsterdam Science Summit, he spoke to Ivo Cummings about CBDCs and how high inflation, underline, how inflation has been orchestrated by central banks to further their agenda. think about it. If you understand what inflation is and how it's wreaking havoc across the world, including Ghana. You know, the world we are in is such a, you know, there are people who control things and people who know things and people who say things. You know, this whole globalist agenda to achieve an ultimate goal sometimes can be achieved effectively by creating problems, and then in the midst of creating the problems, they can have a justification to bring their solutions, their proposed solutions. In such instances, it becomes easier for humanity to embrace it quickly out of fear and frustration and all that. And that's one thing, it's always in their playbook. I mean, they take advantage of chaos and crisis to push their ultimate plans and agenda. Well, that's the world we are in. That's the world we are in. So if you think things are going to get better, economies are going to improve, I hate to say it, but that's the reality. It's not going to get any better. The powers that be at the global level and all that, that's not what they wish for. I mean, they have a plan, and to really get their things going, well, the economy will have to go down, 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 down. So that's what we are seeing in the world. Anyway, the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this short break. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Smith, let's take a look at what you're doing for the long term.
Okay, let's see. I have several mutual funds, a few T-bills, CDs, and a sizable amount of gold.
Oh, I'm talking about the long term.
Oh, definitely.
I won't be touching this stuff till retirement.
I mean the long term.
The long term.
After retirement?
What's after retirement?
A very long term.
Oh.
What investments have you made for that period of your life?
What do you mean?
The Bible says not to put our hope in wealth, but to put our hope in God. You see, we lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven by being rich in good deeds and generous and willing to share. So how are you investing for the long term?
Oh, I hadn't thought much past my own death.
Mr. Smith, people don't die. Only bodies die. You'll be around for a long time after your death. Now is the time to plan ahead.
A message from Lifeline Productions, 1-800-523-8669, lifelinepro.com.
Hello, this is Heaven. May I help you?
Hello, I'd like to know how to get to heaven.
Well, sir, are you a sinner?
No, I'm a good guy.
Oh, then you're sinless.
Well, I'm not sinless, but I've done more good than bad.
Then you are a sinner. In that case...
Well, what am I supposed to be? Perfect?
Yes.
Well, then how do I get into heaven?
First step is to admit that you're a sinner.
But I'm not!
I'm sorry, we can't help you. Thank you. Hello, this is Heaven.
Compared to some of the people I work with, I'm a pretty good guy.
But we're not comparing you to others, sir. We're comparing you to God.
Well, that's impossible.
Okay, thank you. Hello, this is...
Okay, suppose I'm not perfect, then what?
Then you need to ask Jesus to forgive you for being a sinner.
But I'm not that bad.
Okay.
Wait. Now, I asked Jesus to forgive me, then what?
Well, since he already paid the penalty for your sin, then he will forgive you.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
All right, welcome back. Very, very, very insightful clips that Lifeline Pro has. Indeed. Let me read this verse. We have 2 Timothy 4:3 that says, "For the time will come," and I believe we are in that time, "when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." A time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. And I believe that's exactly what we are seeing in that generation. It's serious. Sound doctrine. You know, ultimately, they are pushing that we shouldn't say this. Oh, don't say that this is a sin. Don't say this lifestyle, God hates it. Because if you say that, then you are being classified as you are homophobic, you are transphobic, you are... You can be classified, you know, charged. Actually, in some places, you can be charged for hate speech. Yes, that you hate the person. That's why you are saying that this is a sin. And so, alter your doctrine. Don't say, "I believe in this." Don't say that this church, this is what we preach. This is what we stand by. So far as it offends someone, then don't talk about it. You know, all these... the pressure is on to alter the doctrine. So some are also coming out of doctrines that sound good and appealing to those who want to hear these, you know, other things that makes it acceptable for them. And you see, last week I was talking about the German statistics where Christians, people who suppose Christians who... some say they read the Bible once a year, once a week. I give all the numbers, the statistics, and very, very worrying statistics. The reality is, you know, gradually people are losing interest in the Word of God because of what is happening in the world. The system, the world system is fighting the Word of God. It's making it look like it's an obsolete book. We no longer need it. You know, the things in it are not fit for purpose in our time, in our generation. Things have changed, times have changed, lifestyles have changed. So the Bible doesn't really address the modern standards of living. And you see, for those who believe these things, then you now see it as, oh, then I don't need the Bible. or I need a doctrine that really meets and matches the current trend of lifestyles. So you see the Church of England, for instance, they are changing their doctrine to make it sound good and acceptable for the LGBT community. You go to the US, the United Methodists, they've changed their doctrine to embrace and make it comfortable for these people. A whole lot of other, churches, denominations are bending to twist and alter the word of God to make it acceptable. So their doctrines are making it palatable, so now the sound doctrine, which the word of God says explicitly that he created male and female, he created he them, now they don't want to talk about it. So they are silent about those parts of the word of God. And it's all about God is love, God is love, God is love. Nothing about God's judgment, nothing about God's wrath, nothing about God will punish sin if we don't repent. No, all these things are now not being talked about. It's being rather seen as hate speech. So we don't want to practice it and talk about it. In the name of God being love, we cannot be going by hate speech alongside God's love. So you see, these are some of the twisted doctrines that we are seeing in our times. But my emphasis this evening is on we, the believers. What do we do now that there's an onslaught on the word of God in terms of like people challenging it as not being the word of God, is written by men, it's just a book, just a book filled with stories, so not really a book that we should take to heart per se. People say all these things. You see, it's when I hear some Christians or purported Christians say some of these things, it's virtually obvious that, you see, these people have not experienced the word of God themselves. They've not had a revelational knowledge of the word of God. They've not had an encounter with the word of God. They've not had insight, because you see, if you've experienced the word of God in reality in your life, you read the word of God, God gives you insights, revelations, you understand things, deeper meanings of things. You enjoy reading it. You cannot turn around and say that the word of God is not of God. It's not a book that is a spiritual book that we should take serious. No. So, don't be surprised, these attacks will come because they have to come actually. These are all the signs of the times. The people will be hating us for God's name's sake. So, it's obvious. These are the realities. But we have to understand that these are the times to build ourselves in the word of God. Because, you see, last week I talked about the fact that it will not be long. The UN and all these agencies will be classifying the word of God as a hate speech book or a hate book. Eventually, they would, all these big online, amazing, and all these online shops selling the Bibles, and a time will come, they will stop selling it. Oh yes, it will not be long, they will stop selling it. Google, for instance, since they are purely pro-liberal and pro-LGBT, Google will just take all the Bible apps from their Google Play Store. As for Apple, they are even worse than... the same guy. All these liberal, big tech companies, they all hate God. They all hate the Bible. Apple, iPhone, they'll just take all the Bible apps from their system. So, you see, for the believers who think, we have the word of God on our phone, one day you wake up and you realize there's no word of God on your phone. It's been blocked out and you cannot download it again. You see, so these are the times to equip ourselves with the word of God. It should be in us. We have to start looking at being like the Chinese. How are the Chinese really learning the word of God? In one instance where the pastor was talking about where they take, in as much as you may not be aware, but China is the leading producer of Bibles. They most Bibles are printed in China, because you know China is a mass production center of almost everything in the world now. They print, but it's not for the citizens. It's for export only. For the citizens, it's not so easy to come by. You can get it, but it's not so easy. And sometimes for those in the rural areas, it's almost like technically it's a contraband good in some parts of the country. It's difficult to get it and all that. And so in those rural communities where it's difficult to get the word of God to buy directly and all that, I read one report where you have instances where you have this home church and they have just one Bible to share, one Bible for the whole home church, one. So the strategy some have adopted in some of those home churches, they tear the pages of the Bible out, then they distribute, and then so you get your copy, your pages, then you go and hand copy to create your own handwritten Bible. So by so doing, you're also learning it. And they do it, and you bring it, and you come and take another. So you exchange, and then you pick other pages, then you also go and write, then you exchange. So that's how some of these communities, home churches, some have gotten the Bibles, their own handwritten Bibles for themselves. You know, it's amazing what people are doing to get the Word of God into their spirits, into their lives, into their daily lives. How far people will go. We have it, we will not read. See what people are doing. People are going the extra mile to ensure they have their own copy of the Word of God. Oh yes, that is the price they are paying to ensure they have their own copy. There is this remote Pacific, I think that one was Pacific also, either Pacific or the other side of the world, where they didn't have their language, they didn't have their own translated Bible for them, and it was done by the Bible Society. And as the plane landed this remote island, so the plane landed on this park, and the community waiting at the park, the Bible, and they got it. And I mean, you should see how people were crying the tears of joy of owning their own Bible, having their own Bible. You know, there are some other Chinese ones to Chinese churches where they receive their Bibles and they are crying tears of joy. You know, I look at some of those videos and I ask myself, we really have a long way to go. Oh, yes. Because, you see, we have it. I mean, some have as many versions, NLT, KJV, NIV, this, that, all sort of combinations. We have it. But of what good is it to us if we are not even reading it, we are not opening it? We have it, but what are we doing with it? You know, a time will come that it will not be as convenient as it is, as we have now. Oh yes, that time will come. We think we have it now, so what's the big deal? A time will come where it will not be as convenient as we have now. You see, so we should get the Word into us. We should read the Word. We should study the Word. We should meditate on the Word. It should be in us, because a day will come where you cannot have the Bible, but if you have it in you, it's in you. If you have the Word in you, it's in you. You have it in you. Let's get the Word into us. Let's spend more time in the Word. Let's spend more time in the Word. You see, because as we are seeing these things, I mean, we are reading various reports, we are seeing and hearing and reading and seeing and all that, it's just a matter of time. Some of these things would unfold. You know, the world, if you really look at the state of the world now and how things are going in the world now, we should not think that some of these things are far-fetched. It is not possible. No. We should not think that way, because we are living in a very depraved world where the hatred for God is so high amongst the liberal leaders, amongst the powers that be, amongst the globalists. They hate God to the core. They hate anything God. They hate Christians. They hate everything Christian. You see, so they keep taking their hatred a step higher or a step further, little by little. Eventually, it will get to the point where, as I was saying, like, they will use institutions, government institutions, to clamp down on the word. They will clamp down on Christians. See, when you watch these movies, end time movies, you see some of these things, people think, oh, it will never happen to our time, like in our generation, we'll never see these things. But little by little, the signs are beginning to show that we are approaching these times. Yes, the signs are beginning to show little by little. So, this is the reality. Let's build ourselves in the word. Let's challenge ourselves to get the word into us. More of the word. More of the word. More of the word. Listen to it. The audio Bible. I mean, the audio Bible, for instance, see, I listen to it so, I mean, it's so nice, see, because it has its own impact as well. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you hear, you're listening to it, that is also getting into your spirit in a different way. As you read, as you study, as you meditate, it's also having its own impact in you in a different way. But whichever way it is, let's get the word into us, ourselves. Let's get the word, the children. Let's get our children to like and to love the word of God. You see, we shouldn't make it look like, oh, when they grow. No, other religions are not waiting for them to grow. They indoctrinate them. They get the word, their books or holy books, whatever, into the children as early as practicable. But oftentimes, Christians, we think, oh, when they grow, allow them to grow. No. These are not the times to be allowing them to grow. Catch them young, because the enemy is seriously after the children. Then the enemy is not waiting for them to grow before they start contaminating them. So why should we have the mindset that let's allow them to grow before we push things into them? These are the times to get them to love the word of God. These are the times to get them to fall in love with it. You see, because if we don't get them to be grounded in the word now, by the time they will be growing, the world is going to be a completely different face altogether. I mean, you can know. I mean, you don't need to be a prophet now to know that in the next few years this world is going to be something else. I mean, we are seeing things unfolding in ways which you can easily predict that in the next few years it's going to be a bit more rough terrain for Christians. And that's the fact. So we shouldn't wait for them to grow into that level before now, at a time when now they've been contaminated, they've been confused, they've been influenced negatively by all the system, the educational system, their friends, the peer pressure and everything, before we introduce them to the word of God. No, that will be too late. Mostly that will be too late. This is the time to give them that grounding, that foundation. Because, I mean, Proverbs is clear about it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. So if we start that training now, every day they should read their Bible, every day they should do their quiet time. It's a good training we are instilling in them, because a time will come when the world will be anti-Bible, the world will be anti-Christian. You see, so when you hear statistics like I read last week, Germany, people not reading the Bible again and all that, not too long ago, a few weeks ago, UK statistics, all these things we talk about on this program. You see, when you hear these statistics, you shouldn't think it's, oh, Obifia somewhere, some way long, some other country, so it's for them. These are things to let us see the possibility of we also falling into those statistics as well. See, so when you hear others are falling in terms of these things, we should then guard ourselves from even falling more than those people, because the potential, we can also fall. So we should guard the faith that we have. And the children, we should ensure that we do not lose them to the world system. Because the world system is doing everything to ensure that they don't know God. They don't follow God. They are doing everything to ensure that. But we should counter it strongly by doing what has to be done as parents. Instilling the word in them. Guiding them, helping them, bringing the word as a discussion in the home. You know, let me quickly finish off by reading Deuteronomy chapter 6. One very powerful part of the Bible when it talks of Bible in the house or the word of God in the house. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Time is almost up. 3 minutes, I believe. Yeah. Okay. So we have 6:6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them up for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. This is what you should do for the word of God for your children. Talk about it in the car. Talk about it. Discuss. Play. Whatever. Something. You see, we should get it as part of a discussion at home. It should be part of the home. A Christian, if it's a Christian home, then the word of God should not be absent. It should be part of the home. It should be part of the home. All right. This is Eben. I believe you've been blessed this evening. This program is recorded. It will be on spiritissues.info in the Telegram group Spirit Issues. You can download and listen to it later and all that as well. So thank you for listening and good night. God bless you.
Hello, this is Heaven. May I help you?
Hello, I'd like to know how to get to heaven.
Well, sir, are you a sinner?
No, I'm a good guy.
Oh, then you're sinless.
Well, I'm not sinless, but I've done more good than bad.
Then you are a sinner. In that case...
Well, what am I supposed to be? Perfect?
Yes.
Well, then how do I get into heaven?
First step is to admit that you're a sinner.
But I'm not!
I'm sorry, we can't help you. Thank you. Hello, this is Heaven.
Compared to some of the people I work with, I'm a pretty good guy.
But we're not comparing you to others, sir. We're comparing you to God.
Well, that's impossible.
Okay, thank you. Hello, this is...
Okay, suppose I'm not perfect, then what?
Then you need to ask Jesus to forgive you for being a sinner.
But I'm not that bad.
Okay.
Wait. Now, I asked Jesus to forgive me, then what?
Well, since he already paid the penalty for your sin, then he will forgive you.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
Great content, rich, positive music from the... Great content, rich...